Hello, welcome to Geek and Geek Hag.
Hello.
So, right, straight on to the issues of the day and of the week.
What are we doing first?
We're going to, okay, well, let's do the easy thing, okay?
Can I read this?
Yes, let's read it. Okay, so it's a bit of racist propaganda. This is being recorded the night before the elections in the UK.
Yeah, we've got this interesting photocopy bit of paper. The entire top third is taken up by a Union Jack. It's not even done in color, cheap-ass bastards. And it's all sort of in giant capital font, centered, just stupid. The Gay Council.
That's what it says at the beginning.
The Gay Council. Your council is run by gays. Do you want to wake up to a gay-run council again? Some of your counselors are gays. It's a bit repetitive, isn't it? Some departments are run by gays. No wonder they love the Muslims and blacks. I'm a bit kind of mystified by that bit, because...
I'm mystified by the whole damn thing.
Okay.
Go on.
They ignore our old people and pensioners. They give houses to immigrants before whites. What if they're white immigrants? Like me.
Sarah, that's a concept that's too hard to foster in their mind, so...
Vote for BNP. That stands for British National Party, those of you who don't know. And we will keep Great Britain free of immigrants. Felons are let loose on our streets by Labour when they should have been deported back to their country. This is what you get from the Labour Party. BNP needs you to get rid of this council. Do not vote for the Labour Party. Published by the British National Party, shall I read the cell phone number? In case anyone wants to give them a call and give them a piece of their mind. 0121-246-6838. So, now, the thing I find incredibly funny is they've put this through our door, and they've put it through the door of an immigrant and a black person, and they've gone and canvassed in an area that, if you've ever walked through this area, you would know that it's probably at least half black African or black Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a really strong Somali population, it's got a really high Sikh population, a pretty high Muslim population, and I don't know about the gays running the council, but I don't know. I'm just kind of mystified as to why they picked our street, because it just seems like the street where they're least likely to get any support whatsoever.
So basically, yeah, okay. The interesting thing is that it's pretty bad, blatantly scary, well, trying to scare propaganda, you know. So your council is run by gays. Oh my god, shock horror, because you know, being gay means that you can't be a councillor.
Gay,
you know.
I don't know what they're trying to do.
I know, it's like, oh, well, you know, they're gay, so obviously they can't be counselors.
Apparently the gays love the Muslims and the blacks and hate old people and white people.
See, okay, yeah, and that's the thing, it's like...
They're well confused. I mean, they really just need to stick to picking on one group.
And, yeah,
you know, because they're trying for too many at once here.
Why would the gays love the Muslims and the blacks? What is that about? You know, this is okay. So obviously, these people are so stupid and they don't get it, and they're like, you know, trying to scare. I'm sure it probably scares a couple of people. You know,
the gays.
Oh my god, there's gays in the council. Oh my god, you know, the council is run by gays. Oh my god, what are we gonna do? Oh shit, you know,
keep Great Britain free of immigrants. And I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, how are you going to do that when there's, you know, how many immigrants are here already? What are you going to do? Send them all back?
If it's up to the British National Party, they would quite happily do that.
I'm sure that probably is the agenda.
Because they obviously want to keep Britain white.
It's so ridiculous. It's, well, white entry of immigrants.
Yeah.
So what I want to know is, are white immigrants okay?
Obviously not, because they're... They're somewhat black, wouldn't they? You know, it's just like this. What's it mean? They just think like, well, if you're not from England, you know, then obviously you're an immigrant and you probably are somewhat black or some Muslimy kind of country, or You're not from England. Go back.
What about Canadians?
They don't see like white that. Canadians. They don't see like that.
What about white Australians?
Oh, no, they got kind of tan skin. They got to go back.
Okay.
It's like, it's, that's what I mean. It's like that kind of idiotic stupidity that...
This is just mental. It's just like, you know, first it's just incoherent racist ranting and babbling. And then they put it through the doors of, you know... I mean, what I'm kind of curious about is, like, you know, are they really trying to drum up support for this, or are they just trying to, like, kind of scare, you know, blacks and immigrants and Muslims in this neighborhood into thinking that, yes, we all want you out of here and we hate you, when, whatever.
Okay, well, so whatever. Anyway, whatever it was.
Don't waste any more time on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, stupid.
Gays! So every once in a while, I'm just going to randomly go, the gays! They're running the council, the gays!
Yeah.
I guess that's why Greenwich is undergoing a regeneration and, you know, is getting some nice new fancy flats and getting new shopping centers, getting the extension to the Woolwich Arsenal. I mean, if that's what the gays are doing, well, more power to them. Yay, gays! Yay! Okay,
so enough about
next
that.
Next topic.
Right, so I think we should talk about what I should talk about, We Media, because it's bugging the heck out of me.
Go on, darling.
Oh, right. So
go on. I want to hear you talk about the... Can I say the name of the company?
No.
Okay, never mind.
No.
I won't say the name.
Be very careful what I say here, because this was... for you guys that don't know, We Media is a conference about... I guess the
you told me it was supposed to be about citizen journalism.
Yeah, well, the kind of like the area, the gray area between like the mainstream press and the mainstream media and kind of amateur professionalism blogging. I don't know, just like, I guess it's more like, you know, participation and how that mainstream media could work with that or deal with that, or
let people participate more.
Yeah, kind of. Mm. So
can I talk about digital assassins?
Yeah. Okay.
Digital assassins.
So okay. Someone thought it'd be a really good idea to have this part of the conference where you have a digital assassin, and digital assassin would be a person that would be, I guess you could call them like alpha geeks or people that are just like just a little bit ahead of the curve, you know. So they kind of are using a lot of the stuff that the people are thinking about or talking about or they heard about. So like, for example, you know, oh, I hear people are using this thing called Flickr. Oh, there's 8 million people using it. So okay, those people are digital assassins. You know, it's that kind of thing. You know, or I hear people are downloading videos over the internet. Oh, well, they must be digital assassins.
Well, this is the funny thing. Like, I wonder how the term came about, because what it sounds like is they're trying to imply that these people are killing mainstream media. I mean, that's kind of what I got out of it. I was like, you're not killing mainstream media.
No.
You know, you're still consuming it. It's just in different formats.
Yeah.
You know, well, yeah. And you probably don't consume... Well, you probably can consume more of it than anybody else, but anyway... Because of how you do it.
Yeah, okay, but the point is, I guess, is that it's not about just consuming. You're now a participant in the media. So, you, when I get media, I expect to be able to, if I find it interesting, to like share it, remix it, you know, do things to it that you know, mainstream media haven't really, or not even thought about, but are just don't quite get ahead around. Why would you want to take our content and rejig it?
You can't do that. That's copyrighted.
Yeah, I mean, stuff like that. Okay, so basically, digital assassins. I don't really like the term. It kind of it puts people on like edge from day one. You know, because basically we are just people. You know,
you're gonna come out and stab them in the eye with your stylus from your iPad.
Yeah. So I'm a bit annoyed at the term, but I'll let it slide. Anyway, so the idea is that there's there was 28 tables at Wii Media, and which was hosted at the BBC White City, or Television Centre, and there'll be a person on each table, and they would be a facilitator, and the digital assassin would sit on that table, and the facilitator would ask, basically just do like a little short interview with that person, and the people around that table, the other people that were paying participants of Wii Media Conference, would then be able to ask questions and pick up points or hear the interview and like that kind of thing, you know. Mm-hmm. So, well,
your facilitator didn't show up. Well, yeah,
so first thing, I walked to the table after a bit of that took a while to do all that, but got to the table, sat down.
They put you in like a Hannibal Lecter style thing because you're an assassin.
Yeah,
they
rolled me out in my mask and my orange suit on, my arms strapped back, and I stood. I was there and I couldn't move, and I was saying hello, and you know, I started to talk. So yeah, I sat down at just a space where it was empty, and I asked you, "Is this place empty?" And I said, "Yeah, no problem." And so there was no facilitator at my table. So I had to, you know, we were given these envelopes that we'd give to the facilitator that would then ask those questions and get the kind of ball rolling. So I had to basically read up my profile a little bit. I kind of skipped different parts and like sped it up a little bit so that, you know. And then kind of start asking myself the questions that were on the sheet.
What do I think?
Yeah, so it was a bit, but, and then after, they weren't biting. These guys were not biting. It's interesting enough, there were 6 guys and 1 woman. And so these guys were not biting. They were not that, they wouldn't ask any questions.
They weren't engaged.
They were not engaged. So I had to basically start asking questions. And then finally they started asking me questions. And the first question they asked me was, "Oh, so you have a blog. You know, we have this thing with the blog. Yeah, so do you have advertising on it?" I was, you know, and I was like, "No, because it's my blog and I don't really need to put advertising on it." And the guy was like, I'm not going to say which company he worked for, but it begins with Q.
There's so many, you could have just said what they do.
They're in a mobile space.
They're a mobile company in the States.
You're giving out too much information now, see?
Well, you shouldn't have said Q.
Yeah, but they could have been, like, anyone.
No. Okay, but anyway.
Okay, so, he was a bit dismayed, like, okay, so, you got this blog, you write content on it, but you don't want to make money off it.
You don't sell it? Oh my god!
It doesn't compute. Well, I don't understand why you'd want to do that. And so I tried to explain to him, like, you know, it's kind of like my own thoughts and ideas, and you know, I don't need to like make money off it. You know,
I like doing it.
Yeah, I enjoy doing it. It's a pastime that I do, and I, you know, it's not a big deal. That, and you know, he just didn't quite get it. He just really did not get it. So, okay, I was like, okay.
Well, some people enjoy photography; they don't get paid for that.
Yeah, I mean, like, they'll upload stuff. Yeah.
People do and don't get paid for.
Yeah, so,
because they enjoy it.
But he didn't quite get that at all. So, okay, that was very weird. And then it suddenly got worse, you know. So it got worse. So they were talking about the fact that this company sells a technology, and so this technology really sucks. But it really, really sucks. And as soon as if I told you what it was, then you'd be like, "Oh, but isn't it better? Isn't such and such better?" And it's everyone else using that instead of that thing. And I'd be like, "Yeah, absolutely." So So we
and the name of the technology is really stupid, and it's like ripped off from the technology that they're trying
that's
to
superior
imitate,
to it. Yeah,
that's superior to it. So yeah, like, it's even stupider.
Right. So yeah, that's so they're asking me. So yeah, do you know what we do and this in this company? And I was like, yeah, I've heard of you guys. You know, you're such and such, and oh, and you do that thing, begin with B, and they're like, yeah, so our job's done. I was like, what do you mean your job's done? You know, well, obviously you guys know what. He's like, well, the guy was like, well, you obviously know, you know, what we do, and you know our technology. I was like,
yeah, and I know it sucks ass.
Oh no, it's got a false crash then. Yeah, and I also know that it's crap. You know, that's how I know about it. And he wasn't interested in the fact that it was that I knew it was. I know of it because it's so rubbish. He was just interested in the fact that I knew what it was, and I was like, "You don't understand." It's like it. You know, okay. It may be in kind of some kind of perverse way good that I know that about your technology, but it's not good that it's for bad reasons. It's like the letter, you know. I know of the BNP, but I know of the BNP because of bad reasons, not because of good reasons.
Well, what did I say? We were walking home. I was like, I know about Abu Ghraib. That doesn't mean it's a good thing.
And yeah, exactly.
Just like, just knowing a name of something doesn't. I don't know. It's just
yeah. So
silly.
So you didn't get that. I mean, okay. So not only just that was doing it. Okay, there was one guy on the table that. Now, I think the problem was that he was Chinese. He runs a mobile community site, which is completely mobile. And I didn't get into details with him because we only had 20 minutes. And it had to be about me. It would be nice to talk to him about what he'd done and so. But his English was pretty bad, so it's really hard to kind of get him in the conversation. The other guys, was a journalist from Africa. He didn't say anything. He was just, you know, which is a shame. And the woman didn't. Well, she asked me a question at the very end about. So really, you are, you know, continuing the trend of the digital divide. What would you do to stop that? And I was like, well, wait, that's your job, you know. That's not my job to figure that out, you know?
Well, I don't. It's kind of a stupid question, really. It's kind of like, you know, yes, we observe there is a digital divide, but why should you dumb yourself down to match the speed of the rest of the world, or whatever? Yeah. What she sort of implied. It seemed it's like, oh, you should stop consuming, you know, being ahead of the curve and everything because it increases the digital divide. What?
Yeah.
What a stupid thing to say.
Yeah, I didn't. This thing that it'd be nice to
slap her.
It'd be nice to have an hour with these guys because then you could have like really got down and say, look, okay, the question you just asked, yeah,
is stupid for these reasons.
It's I get what you're trying to say, but it doesn't work because your kind of way of looking at it is very
wrong.
Different.
Wrong.
Very different from. The way I see it, so basically I said, you know, well, you know, you can only work with the people that are around you. So you work with your circle of friends and show them the benefit of certain things, and you know, you can lend stuff to them, and you know,
that's the whole idea of it. Is it's viral, you know?
Yeah, and it kind of works that way rather than trying to go at it from like the top down and go right, okay, let's go talk to governments about, you know, the £100, $100 PC. You
That's
know, it's
like holding the smart kids back in school so they can wait for the dumb kids to catch up.
Well, yeah, I don't think it's not that. It's like, because it's certain economics. Like, for example, if you're in a different country, you know, computers can cost a lot of money. Mm-hmm. You know, but I, you know, there's not like anything you can do is you can start with your friends. So, for example, you know, at the college, you. They were throwing away computers, so I gave computers to friends and colleagues, you know, that didn't have computers before. Mm-hmm. Well, they did, they had very bad computers. So, just, you know, and that's all you can do. You can start, if everyone did something like that, little things, then it adds up to the big things. Where what she was trying to get at is like, what big things can you do to make this happen?
Well, no, I almost just don't see where it's your responsibility, you know?
Well, like, yeah, I mean, so it's kind of all our kind of.
Well, I suppose it's everyone's responsibility.
Yeah, but she's kind of like. Yeah, she's like blaming that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's your fault because you're so far ahead of people.
Mm.
Like, what? No, that just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, so, okay, and then another. I talked about geek dinners a little bit, and they kind of looked at me like, you know, I was like kind of nuts.
Don't you charge money for it? Don't you make money off
yeah,
of it?
Yeah, okay, so that was a bit weird. And they also didn't understand why people would want to get together and like, in one place. Which was like, okay, well, you know, we're humans and we're, like, social animals, you know, and people like to, you know, get together and talk and, like, communicate.
But geeks don't like to talk to each other, and geeks are antisocial, and they're socially inept, and they don't like to go out of their homes.
Maybe. I mean, that's what they thought.
Well, but, I'm playing, like, yeah. Devil's advocate there.
Okay.
Because I know that's not the case, but...
Yeah, no, no.
I mean, I'm assuming that's probably why
I'm sure that's what they felt, though. So, okay, to... The funny thing about it was that after... Once the session started to come to the end... the guy from Click Online went around and like did some little interviews with people like to the whole conference, and so he interviewed Rachel Clark, and Rachel Clark talked about geek dinners, and they started looking at me like, oh, wait a minute, is that the same geek dinner that you're talking about? And I was like, yeah. Dumbasses. Yes, that's the point. You know, it isn't. I'm not. Yeah, you know, this is not a joke. You know, we seriously do it, and it's like, you know. But anyway, so yeah, that was ridiculous.
What was it? You were saying something about like they were showing things on a screen and going, look, everyone, this is YouTube. But it's just kind of like,
yeah, so
you don't belong at this conference if you don't know what YouTube is by now.
So, yeah, before we were behind the scenes, and before we were let out, before the digital assassins were let out to...
Hannibal Lecter style.
To rape and pillage the rich suits, you know. We heard, you know... a lot of what was going on, and so one of the things the guy from Click Online was showing was different sites, and one of the sites he showed was, look, guys, this is YouTube, you know, look, there's video on YouTube, that was...
And, oh my god!
And,
gays are running the council!
Yeah, what's his name again, I can't remember his name, the guy I was talking to about it, he was on, like, table 14 or whatever, we were just like, if they don't know what YouTube is, if they've never even seen or heard of YouTube, I don't think they deserve to be here, you know. I know it's really harsh, and maybe I'm like, I'll get slated for saying it, but, you know, there's been so much press attention about YouTube, not press, okay, maybe that's the problem.
It's out there all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, even, yeah. Like, there's really negative stories about the fact that YouTube... basically eats through $1 million a month in bandwidth costs, and they also just got funding for another $25 million, and so it's not like it's, yeah, and it's like MySpace. People have
everyone's heard of MySpace.
Yeah, everyone's heard of YouTube because YouTube can be put on MySpace, and mm-hmm. So okay, so it was just like, I mean, yeah, honestly, I did try not to be like, you know, I was really open about. Talk about stuff, and I really wanted to get a view. And I just felt like, well, damn, man, if I was on a different table, you know,
I don't know what their point was of being there. It's like, especially these guys that were like, you know, don't you want to make money? Don't you want to make money? Money!
I mean, that's the thing also, it's like, okay, I'm not against making money, but it's like, you come to a conference to learn, and that's the thing. You come to a conference to learn about, to engage with, like, new trends or new ways of thinking, yeah? That's what you pay your money for.
Well, and the whole purpose is it's an investment. How can we make more money out of people?
Yeah. And you know, it's like, well, okay, you're sitting down with someone that's, you know, a digital assassin or someone that's, you know, a little bit ahead of the term.
You didn't even talk about how they, like, completely dismissed you. Like, oh, well, you're just...
Yeah, yeah, I'm getting into it now. So, yeah, so you're sitting down with someone that is quite happy to say, you know, I'm a little bit ahead of the curve and, you know, I'm quite happy to talk about all the stuff that I do. You know, or stuff that I'm, you know, the way I kind of consume media and how I participate in, yeah, and all this stuff. And then they start dismissing me because, oh, you know, well, that sounds really cool, you know, that's a nice phone you've got there, and but, you know, you're just ahead of the curve, so what we're after is the mainstream. You know, we're after the mainstream. It's like, well, you came here because the whole idea is that at some point this is going to filter down into the mainstream.
You know what, that's why we have American sitcoms, because everybody's pandering to the lowest common denominator, you know?
Yeah.
Don't want to go for what's sharp and edgy and, like, the latest thing. Just pander to the mass of sheep. Okay, anyway.
So, yeah, I mean, it was a bit of a thing. But, okay, so just finish off the Wii Media part. So, that was a bit annoying. I stuck around afterwards, and it was pretty cool. They did the live... I can't remember what it's called now. Yeah, the live radio thing. Okay, that was interesting, actually. They did a live radio broadcast in the actual conference. And, you know, World Have Your Say and World Africa Have Your Say, whatever it was called, were all to like, half of them were in, like, the gallery, the other half were actually on the floor, you know, taking calls and showing them, like, just trying to get them... You're trying to get the audience into the fact that they can be part of the program, and they talk about, like, you know, how do people do you trust the media and stuff like that. And, you know, as far as I could see, there was very little interaction with the people on the floor. Yeah. It was a lot of people phoning in, people from the internet, you know, and, like, you know, and it just, you know.
Sounds like it fell flat.
Yeah, it fell really flat because, you know, they were too scared to, like, ask too many questions. I mean, I left halfway through, so maybe it kind of took some time to warm up, and then it was, like, full-on, you know, kind of hands up, everyone kind of shouting out. I don't know, but I doubt it.
I
very much doubt it, you know.
Speaking of falling flat, can I just bust in here real quick and say... Put in a plug for everyone going to thankyoustephencolbert.org and leaving him a little message to say thank you for that performance at the White House press corps dinner, because that was probably the coolest thing I've seen come out of America since Jon Stewart put the smackdown on Tucker Carlson on Crossfire. Yeah, that was absolutely fantastic. That's another thing that, you know... The mainstream media isn't reporting it. It's just amazing. Yeah. I was actually looking into that today, looking through all these blogs, and I was finding only, like, a handful of, like, actual newspapers where they're, like, mainstream kind of newspapers or news outlets where they were actually reporting. And to its credit, I think CBS.com had a report about the mainstream media ignoring it.
Oh, right.
Which was... I thought, amazing. I was like, good for you, actually saying that people are ignoring it, and that, you know, and in being mainstream media yourself, you know? And then, you know, then there's the whole debate about was it funny, was it not funny, you know, and what should he have done, and, you know, so I just kind of went back and forth, was reading all this stuff about it, and, you know, and I just kind of go, well, I almost don't care if he was funny or not. I mean, I found it incredibly funny, but I think it was more a moment for just... Oh my God, somebody has finally told, you know, George Bush to his face, you are an asshole. And basically two-thirds of the country hates you, and I'm going to say it straight to your face. Well, and just the way he sort of, he satirizes, you know, people like Bill O'Reilly and all these kind of right-wing pundits that are just screaming and, You know, I just love the word truthiness. I just find that so, that's just so perfect for what it is they do. You know, I speak from the gut, you know, and I don't need facts to know what I think. I mean, it's just, brilliant.
Well, yeah,
anyway, it was absolutely brilliant. So go to thankyoustephencolbert.org.
So, okay, so the interesting thing for me for Stephen Colbert was, it was the more, it was like being at a wedding and the best man standing up and, like, you know, telling the awful stories about the groom that just got married. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was that kind of like, and because all the people in the room are all like, you know, they're basically they're. Allegiance is with the, you know, the groom or, you know, and the thing. They don't know how to take it, and then they realize that actually also the joke's on them as well.
Yeah, well, because he really did insult them as well.
Yeah, and then they don't know how to, and then they just get really annoyed about it, and then they just go, well, I don't want to report this. You know, it's a bit like, you know what's funny? Okay, although I think that the Crossfire one is with Jon Stewart is better because it's a little bit more. I don't know. I think Jon Stewart's got that. I know some people don't like Jon Stewart because he's got the. He's kind of very much like, okay, this. Yeah, I'm actually this way and take it as it is. And he wasn't as funny as Colbert, but in the same way as. Jon Stewart, they put Jon Stewart on Crossfire to be the monkey.
And he just didn't do it.
Yeah, he didn't do it. And the Colbert was like, you know, I'm going to be a monkey, but aha, you know, now I'm on stage, let me tell you about yourselves.
But that's, the funny part is that he really played the same part that he plays on TV. And I guess there's a lot of discussion about, you know, whether that goes over well in an auditorium at a podium. And the people are saying, oh, no, it didn't go over as well. With that, but I just think maybe people were so shocked that he was saying the things he was saying, because when you read the transcript, it doesn't seem that bad. It doesn't seem like you're kind of like, oh, okay, but then when you realize that Bush is sitting, like, you know, 5 feet away from him,
yeah,
you know, and he, and it was like, and his wife didn't even like shake his hand or anything, and he's like,
yeah, I mean, you it's, know? Yeah, I mean, you know. I mean, I'm glad it happened, and I think there'll be more opportunities like that will happen, you know?
Well, and the thing is, no matter how the mainstream media ignores it, you know, they can't bury it, because it's out there, and it's, you know, it's being talked about.
It's all over YouTube.
It's over the place. Yep. You know, people are going all kinds of different places to download this video, and... it's being talked about in all kinds of blogs and all kinds of sort of, you know, independent media outlets. You know, it's out there.
Yeah.
It's out there if you want to find it.
And that's the thing, is that it comes back to, like, media. It's like, you know, you can try and bury the story. You can try and bury this stuff because you don't like it. But, it's going to come back and bite you in the ass. And people are going to start going, well, wait a minute. This happened like 7 days ago. Why have I only just heard about it? You know.
Well, and that's the thing too, is that they've actually shot themselves in the foot again by not reporting it right away.
Yeah.
Because now everybody's talking about the fact that they're not reporting it.
Yeah.
You know, whereas if they had just reported it, it might have gone away.
Yeah, I mean,
faster than it will now.
Yeah.
So, thank you, StephenColbert.org.
Yeah. So.
I hadn't blogged in like a month, and that just kind of. Rocked me out of my sort of, I don't know what, laziness, and was like, ah, I have to write something about that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, what's next on our list of digital ass? I like
So repairing relationships with bloggers. Okay, I'm not gonna quote anyone, but there were some comments that were said at WeMedia and the way things were done, which were a bit, I'm not so sure about that. There was a fringe event after WeMedia, which was arranged by a couple of us. big credit to Robin for his overhead, or if I said it's his overall kind of arranging, which was really good, and got kind of quite a lot of good people there. And so some people took the opportunity to tell the rest of us how things went, and I'm not going to say who, or I'm sure the video will come out at some point, but it was very interesting.
Well, as a complete outsider, the first thing I heard about it was, oh, that was a disaster.
I'm not saying it's a disaster. I'm saying that it's...
The impression I got from you that was that it was a terribly not good conference.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, that's my opinion. But I wasn't there from the beginning. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not like I'm not slagging off Wii Media and the Bertman Center and, you know, it's just that it's not about the mainstream media patting themselves on the back and saying, well done, look, you know, we now got people to submit pictures to us via, you know, via our website. That doesn't cut it. You know, if
that's not the end of it.
If you're still at that stage, you need to get off that stage and start thinking about, you know, the real issues that matter, you know. And there's like a whole session about trust, and that did not go down well. That really didn't. There was a comment about who's checking the bloggers, and it's like...
Well, we were just talking about this a few minutes ago. Yeah. It's like, bloggers check the bloggers. Duh. You know?
Duh.
It's like any kind of stuff that's put out there for public consumption. You know, if you've got it wrong, somebody's gonna call you on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the amazing thing is that people like Bill O'Reilly and President Bush get away with saying the garbage that they do, and no one calls them on it. And you've got a whole mainstream media out there that's supposedly going to be doing that.
Yeah.
And fact-checking things and questioning things. And bloggers have had to take that over in the past 6 years. Sorry, I'm getting my American politics stick here, but I will stop that now. But anyway.
Yeah, so it's stuff like that. And what the worry is from a few people is that, you know, there's been a lot of effort into trying to have a real, genuine conversation with not our audience, but our participating audience, you know. People that actually, you know, really care about the BBC and what it does, and really, you know, really have a stake in what you know, kind of deciding what happens next, or just like, I don't know, just, and so when they see stuff like this or hear stuff like this, they kind of go, well, wait a minute, is that all fake, or, you know?
Well, it's like, trust only extends so far. I mean, at some point, you know, Yeah, they have the name, and maybe their name is trusted, but, you know, bloggers can become that way as well.
Yeah. There's,
you know, with, basically, if week after week, you know, a blog stands up to scrutiny by fact-checkers and things like, you know, like, independent fact-checkers and, or just people who are, you know, saying, hey, wait a minute, that's not right, you know, I've seen this article that says this, and people say, no, that source isn't that good. And it's, I mean, for a lot of people, it's a real education in what journalism is.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that, you know, it's like, people have all these different opinions, you know, but you have to go, you have to question your sources, you have to, you know, look into that kind of thing, and I don't know, I think it's just a really bad idea to who's checking the bloggers. I mean, it's not as though they write it in a vacuum and stick it out there on the front page for everyone to read.
Yeah.
It gets out there in a place where there's comments, you know? People leave comments. People slate you. People rip on you completely personally.
Yeah.
For things that you've written. You know, that's kind of a hard thing to do. And...
Well, it's even harder. This is the key thing, isn't it? It's if you extend that to like, you know, the kind of mainstream media, you know, it's harder because when you write a comment, then you have to play by their rules then. I'm not saying that, say for example, if you write a comment to my blog, then if it's not a very good comment, then I have the right to take it down, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, not because I disagree, I wouldn't do it because I disagree with it, it's because it's either, you know, factually wrong or those kind of things, or it's actually just spam or whatever.
Well,
where mainstream media was like, you could send a really good comment and it just goes in some drawer somewhere, or, you know, it's not...
Well, it's kind of like on Dig, how you can bury comments, you know, because they're stupid, you know?
Yeah.
And if enough people... You can kind of set your own threshold where you say, you know, if four people have, like, negatively digged this, then don't even bother showing it to me.
Yeah.
And I think that is such a fantastic idea, is that, you know, it's like just... Sometimes if somebody's got a lot of negative digs, I just, like, click on it just to see what it is. You know, what the person said, and they go, oh, yeah, that is stupid. God damn it. And, you know, and like, close it up again. I've never come across anything that I really wanted to see in there, so.
Yeah.
Still check because you're curious, I guess. But, yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, blogs moderate themselves, you know? It's like, it's almost like a self-governing kind of society.
Yeah, I think the key thing is that it's not just one blog by itself. It's a whole ton of blogs, you know, that you know, and people that actually, you know, that kind of have a conversation about stuff and will tell you are simply wrong, or that's kind of wrong, or whatever.
Well, and people, you know, and people will post other sources, and then there'll be debates about whether those sources.
Yeah, it's kind of self-policing, like, always.
Yeah, it really is, and it's just to say something like stupid like that. He's watching the bloggers. Oh, shut up, you know? Just stupid.
Yeah. And this other thing, okay, just on... I remember, like, listening to the stream before, there was some comments about there's so much garbage out there, which I don't even, like, go there about that, you know?
Oh, what's the crap? What about those generic, that stupid AP articles that we have to read in papers all the time? That's not garbage? As far as I'm concerned, that's garbage.
Yeah, and then there's... Yeah, just stuff like that. It's just... It just kind of felt like... You know... All the kind of... work that's been done... has been, like, slightly undone. You know? When you look at, like... this, but... Anyway, moving on. So... I know Sarah wants to talk about calendaring... and Plaxton in particular.
Are we switching gears?
Yeah.
Okay. I finally given up and started using Plaxo. And I didn't realize that there was this controversy kind of about it. I just started learning about that today, about people being really annoyed. I guess, what did you tell me, like, when they first started Plaxo?
When they first started Plaxo, basically, when you add all your contacts, it would find all the email addresses and it would send an invite to every single one.
Without you asking it to do that.
Yeah, it's set as default.
We should explain what Plaxo is. Plaxo is a way to sync your... Well, it was online contacts with your Outlook,
yeah,
wasn't it?
It was just contacts, and they moved into everything else.
Okay, so it was basically having an online contacts place, and that you could get from anywhere, you know, which is great. And then they built a plugin that goes into Outlook, so you could sync it with Outlook. And then, you know, and then they added you could sync your calendar and your notes and your tasks and blah, blah, blah. So Ian started using this. What did you use this, like, 6 months ago or something?
No, not that long.
Okay.
It's been like, maybe 4 months or 3 months.
Well, and I got this little, like, doodad card, and it said, Ian wants you to update your contact information. And then it said, you know, remind me how you know me or something. So I clicked that because I thought that was funny. And, and so what did you get? A thing back that says, Sarah wants to know who you are. Which I find is... That's funny. But anyway. And I kind of ignored it. And then when I tried to log in and update my information with it, it, like, wanted me to do all this stuff. And it made it seem like I couldn't do it without joining Plaxo. And I was like, man, that sucks. I'm not doing this. So I just told Ian to stuff it.
Well, yeah,
I wasn't going to do it.
What's those other things that you used to use?
What?
There's other ones that actually do just contact update things.
Do I do those?
Yeah, well, remember Anna,
Oh, Ringo, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you thought it was like a Ringo kind of service.
I thought it was a Ringo service, kind of, and I was like, you know, I'm already on Ringo, and there's a couple other, there's one other thing I'm on, I can't remember what it is, you know, where it updates your, you know, contact details with people that you, just people you select. And, I don't know, I just thought it was another one of those, and I didn't want to be bothered. But I use Outlook at work, and I use Outlook at home, and I have a Windows smartphone, and I have an iPad, and I like to keep them all synced with my contacts, and I try to keep my contacts separate, either personal ones or work ones, and then my calendar is basically all jumbled together between work and home stuff, but I, you know, I'll mark things as private so that other people that can share my calendar at work can't see those things. So that's kind of how I manage my life, and going back and forth with the iPad, using it to sync between the computers, and then syncing the phone to the one computer, really was getting to be, it was really going to be a hassle, and it was, you know, stuff wasn't working quite right, and it was just really annoying to do all the time. And, you know, obviously if you forget your iPad somewhere, you're a bit screwed, or your phone or whatever. And so I started, I don't know, I must have looked into Plaxo again, and I decided to try it. So today, I had a really weird experience, and I tried using the Plaxo help. Well, first, I searched through the forums, and I couldn't find anyone that had had this problem, and I searched through their facts and didn't find the problem there. What was happening was, I was in my Outlook at work, and it was doing this goofy thing where I couldn't open any of my items in my calendar, and I had sent a meeting request to several people at work, and they were responding that day. And when I opened those responses, it would say, you know, so-and-so is accepted, but we can't do anything about this because this meeting's been moved or deleted. Even though I could see the meeting, well, no, I couldn't see the meeting. And the meeting didn't even seem to be on my calendar, and I was like, well, I never deleted it. Where did it go? Then I noticed that Plaxo had made this calendar backup file. And when I looked in there, my meetings were in there, the ones that had said it had been deleted. And I could double-click on things and open them up and modify them and do things with them. But that was only in the backup file. And the backup file didn't have all the same things as the other, you know, original file. But I couldn't use anything in the original file. So I was getting really pissed off, and I was like going back and forth and trying to figure it out. And I emailed the guy at Plaxo, and he sent back some response telling me that I should make sure that I was using the same time zone on both my computers. And I was just like, oh, fuck you. Just like, how stupid, come on, how stupid am I? You know, I mean, I've explained to you adequately, like, what the problem is. It's clearly not a time zone thing. You know, it just wasn't. And so I did write back to him. I was like, okay, I've discovered now I can't double click on anything, and I can't open any of my items in my calendar. And, you know, I'm at risk of losing my entire calendar, which will really screw me because I've got all these meetings that I need to, you know, be at and things.
Back up your calendar now.
I know. Well,
I know. You should do it.
Well, no, I think I've got it sorted now. I really think I've got it sorted now. I think I have fixed the problem. So, I have read about this problem of Outlook, Plaxo crashing Outlook, and it appears that that is what happened to me. So, what I did to fix the problem eventually was I had to, well, once it completely crashed, I think I had to come out of Outlook completely. I had to shut down my computer, restart, and actually, I don't know if this is possible, but I'm wondering if Plaxo crashed the Exchange server, because I was working on this, and I was, like, shifting things around and trying to figure out what it was doing and shifting things between these two, the contacts folder and the backup folder, and I was on Plaxo Online trying to, you know, look at the mappings for where these things were going, and I was just doing all kinds of things. And all of a sudden, my Exchange server just went bleh. And I was the only one at the office. It was like 10 o'clock at night. And all of a sudden, it's like, the Exchange server is unavailable. And I was thinking, oh God, what have I done? You know, do you want to work offline and all this? I'm like, all right then, oops. And that's when it seemed like it completely crashed. So I shut everything down, started it up again, and then I was actually able to get into the items on the original folder. So I deleted the backup folder because it didn't have the right stuff in it anyway. Mm-hmm. When I got home tonight, it was all fucked up. And the way I fixed that was, there's a synchronization manager thing in Plaxo that you can use to sort that out. You have to just make sure things are mapped to the right folders and all kinds of things. And I've probably lost a few phone numbers in the process, and I've, you know, gained a few things that I thought I'd deleted, but I think I finally got it all working. So I will keep everyone posted. Mm-hmm. But another thing I discovered kind of recently is a Google Calendar. And you know what? If you could share the Plaxo Calendar the same way you could share the Google Calendar, then I'd be all set. You know, and I mean, I like the Google Calendar. It's all right. I tried to share it with my dad. I don't know if he's been able to look at it. You know, I'm not sure what happens, because I put his email address in. He doesn't have Google Calendar. I just put his email address in this thing and hit share. So what I read about in the help said it sends a message to him that says you can go look at this calendar. So I'm hoping that he will actually go do that and will understand what I meant to
send
him
to. Send a mail to yourself.
I should have done that. I should have sent it to one of my other email addresses. Oh, I'm so stupid. Oh, good one, darling. Okay, but,
well, I mean, yeah, calendaring's a pain in the ass, full stop.
Yeah.
It's a very simple concept that is overcomplicated. With Outlook is a pain because it's not standardized. It uses Exchange Server, you know, so you must have Exchange Server. You need to use the Outlook client. There's not really a web front end for it, and a whole lot of stuff, you know, and it's a pain in the ass. The problem is that when you've got Microsoft branded hardware, like, you know, smartphones and iPads and my new phone, for example, then it all runs off ActiveSync, which runs off Outlook. So you need to have Outlook on the computer. So for me, I have Outlook on my laptop, but I only use it for calendaring, or half calendaring, tasks and contacts. My email all goes through Thunderbird. I don't use Outlook for any mail at all. I just will not use it.
You use it at work, though, don't you?
I use it at work, unfortunately, because I have to.
Yeah. So every time I have a meeting request for Ian, like, I want to send him a meeting request, you know, as far as, like, you know, I'm reminding you that we're going to somebody's house on Saturday or something, I have to send it to his work email address. But the nice thing with...
Not necessarily more, you won't have to.
Why not?
I've been tracking this down, is that I read somewhere on one of the blogs that cannot be trusted, I read somewhere that if you got Lightning installed on Thunderbird, then it will, when you get an Outlook iCal, which is a bit of a step, because then it means that the person will have to select...
No, to send you an iCal, so yeah. I have to do that, okay.
Then it will automatically know what to do with that and put a calendar date in, but then it's in Thunderbird, not in Outlook, which means it's not going to sync up with the devices. But you can
wait a second. But I thought you did. I thought you have Plaxo Online, and you've got it. You have the plugin installed with your Outlook at work.
Yeah.
And then you have it. You have it with Outlook on your laptop at home.
Yeah.
Okay, so if I send you a meeting request, if I send it to your work one, and it'll put it in your Plaxo Online calendar, which will then sync to your... Isn't that how we've been doing it lately?
Yeah, it does do that.
Okay, you don't have to accept it first, do you?
No, it puts in there temporarily, and then if you put decline, it'll remove it.
Okay.
It's the... I remember Miles talked about, like, two different ways of calendaring. You can either do it so that you look and see how much time someone has, and then you try and put events in a calendar, or you do it the other way where you... I can't remember what the other way was now, but you ask or something like that. And
you request it.
Yeah, you request a meeting, and the person then puts a date in their calendar, and you put a date in your calendar. But Outlook basically assumes that, you know, the person that's sending the meeting request is a higher level superior, and that when they ask for your time, then you will, you know.
I don't see it like that. I mean, because you still have to accept it.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, absolutely, but it's by automatically putting in your calendar before you even accept or decline, then it's assuming that your time isn't as important as the person that sent it to you.
I don't know. I've just been fighting with... I mean, I just keep fighting with people at work about using them. Well, I don't know if anymore, but... I mean, there's this one temp that, for God's sake, I was just like, could you please stop sending me these emails asking for my availability on such and such a day? You know? And, like, 30 times, I was like, you know what? I've made you a delegate to my calendar. You can even put items in there. I don't give a crap. Just stop asking me for my availability on whatever days, because I don't have time to go through your piddly little emails. It's really pissing me off. And it's just like, I don't know how many times you can tell people. But now we've got, oh my God, a really weird thing happened today. It was like, I don't know, I think we're going to have issues. I don't know if I should even bother with it, but...
Okay, well...
It's just...
Don't do work stuff.
It's just people that get pissy when, you know, anybody makes a suggestion about something, you know. They think you're trying to, like, you know, criticize them. And it's like, it's not really being critical, it's just saying, hey, this might work better if you did it this way. You know, such as, you know, we have a whiteboard, we all kind of say whether we're going to be in or out on a certain day.
Mm-hmm.
It would help if you don't take the markers away in case people's availability changes during the week.
Mm-hmm.
And all I said was, like, you know, I said, oh, the marker's missing. She says, oh, I have it at my desk. And I kind of went, eh? And so later that evening, you know, I was only in the office, and I was thinking, oh, I've got to go write down that I'm going to be out tomorrow morning, you know, just so people don't wonder where I am at the unit meeting. You know, and I already declined. I already said there was a meeting request. I was really happy. I put declined and, like, wrote a little message saying, I'm going to be out tomorrow morning. Can't come to the unit meeting. Oh, shame, because there's such joy to be at. And I went to go write on the board, and then there's still no marker there. And so I went to this person's desk and looked around, and said, what the frick's the markers? And so I sent her an email, and I said, hey, could you put the marker back? Because I think you said you had it at the desk, you know, just because, you know, people, you know, sometimes need to change their availability during the week. I know mine changes quite often, depending on, you know, if I need to go out to, you know, different clinics or do something, you know, so I may need to update it. I'm sure other people have the same problem. And I said, and also, you know, could you note down for me, you know, because I didn't have the marker because you took it away, could you note down for me that I'm not going to be in until 11 tomorrow, and then also I won't be, you know, until 2:30 the following day? You know, mainly because you took the marker, so if you're going to take the marker away, then, you know, you're going to have to do this. Mm-hmm. You know? And, well, first of all, I got in this morning, you know, it hasn't been done. Mm-hmm. The markers are there. And then at 4 o'clock today, I get an email copied to me, but sent to one of the lady who's kind of helping with my section, with my team's things.
Mm-hmm.
Copied to her saying, could you update Sarah's availability on the board? Never mind that I'd already done it when I came in, because mm-hmm. nobody had done it, and the markers were there, and I was like, okay, I'll do it now. And I was just like, oh, I was a bit annoyed, like, oh, she put the markers back, but she didn't bother, you know, writing the thing in like I asked.
Hmm.
You know? And then at 4 o'clock, she sends it to this other woman and says, can you update Sarah's availability? I'm like, I don't have a PA. I don't need a PA.
Yeah, but, okay, maybe that...
I don't know. I'm trying to determine if it's like some kind of psychological game. Like, she's, like, playing a game with me. Like, you know, if you're gonna... I'm just gonna pawn it off on somebody else, and, like, I'm not gonna do anything for you because, you know, I just think you're a bitch.
Yeah, okay, but this is interesting. This is, like, a bit like the... I know you didn't kind of like the kind of... the calendaring metaphor about whose time is more important and stuff like that, but maybe in her previous jobs, you know, that was kind of the way that it was done. It was like that kind of hierarchy where you don't touch someone else's calendar. You would tell someone else to do. She would tell someone else to do it, and that person would do it.
Well, I'd do it myself if she'd leave the fucking marker where it's supposed to be.
I know.
You know, it's just like, it's such a stupid thing. Anyway, so I would just waste all this time bitching about something really stupid. But I was just kind of like, what the hell was that about? That's just really weird. And I chatted to somebody else about it, and they were like, yeah, she's just weird.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, I feel a bit better now.
Well, okay.
I'm just glad because my line manager is back from maternity leave, and I sort of took over all the little, bringing up all the little niggly bits around the office. You know, I don't know why, I just sort of took it upon myself to bring up some of the stuff, like, you know, could people please stop putting their personal photographs on the iDrive? I'm going to delete them, like, on the shared drive. Don't save your personal photographs to that drive. You've got your own personal drive anyway. And, you know, don't clog up, you know, this drive where we need to save important stuff with this crap, you know. Does anyone know whose picture of a baby this is? Because if you don't, I'm going to delete it tomorrow. And just, like, stuff I don't really need to do, but, mm-hmm. you know, it's just, you want things to kind of run smoothly. And, you know, I was the one who sort of asked my boss's boss if she could please not use speakerphone because we're now in open plan instead of her having her own office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was nicely. I just sort of like made a little joke out of it and just said, you know, I don't know if you realize, but we kind of hear like every call you make. And, you know, like soundproofing's not that good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she was like, oh, really? And, you know, she was a bit embarrassed, I think. But, you know, and it was like, but people were happy that, you know, it's like we got it sort of resolved. You know, I was like, I didn't have to take on telling her that, but I did because it's like, it's going to help me. It's going to help other people. You know, it's going to help her in the end because, you know, she probably needs to get a headset or something. And, you know, I'm fine with doing that kind of stuff, but I'm really glad my line manager's back because now she can do that because she's sort of like the next, and she always did a lot of these little piddly kind of managerial things that just really need to be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just need somebody who doesn't care what people think of them and is just happy to, you know, be the bitch if she has to be.
Okay, I'm tired. I'm going to bed.
Okay. Recording time remaining, 4 hours and 22 minutes. No, you don't want to keep going?
It's an hour in. I'm tired. I'm going to bed.
Okay, fine. I'm going to bed too.
Because it's now like 2 o'clock.
Okay.
So.
Okay, so good night from Geek and Geek Hag and pleasant dreams in about computers and stuff. Yeah.
And yeah, and one more thing. It's not just about the blogosphere, it's about people.
What?
They kept on saying, what's the opinion of the blogosphere? What's the opinion of
the blogosphere is people.
Yeah, I know, but
people saying?
But they were like, you know, I don't know. It was just like
It isn't just some sort of, you know, entity on its own. It's people behind those.
Yeah.
You know? It's probably more real than
just that whole mainstream
mentality.
Yeah, but maybe you could say, well, we do the same where we clump all
lump
the
them together, yeah.
Yeah, into one. Okay.
Okay. Good night.
Is what you're doing?
No, I'm hitting stop.
Yeah.
Okay, good night.